I want to start a four-week series, and the title of the series is called Summer Wisdom. Here it is, June 1st. We're in the front end of summer, and things are going to get very busy. We have graduations coming up. There's going to be family gatherings and picnics and reunions. There's going to be people that go on vacation. And summer is summer, and it can get hectic. But summer wisdom is about how to live the next 3 months. And I thought about it, and so today and the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about how God wants us to navigate summer. Now, there's a big idea for the entire four-week series, and here it is. It's in your notes. God wants you to thrive, not just survive. In other words, he wants you to live life in such a way that it's meaningful and fulfilling, but it doesn't come to a place where we're just trying to survive. He wants us to thrive. So we're going to dive into that today. Here's the title of today's message. It's How to Be Wise This Summer. Now, I need to back up. Let's read the verse. It's in your notes. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. The book of Proverbs is all about wisdom and making good choices. In 252 Kids, one of the goals of that program for the elementary school kids is how do I make wise choices? When you and I get to be adults, we need to follow the same principle. How do we make wise choices in our life so that our lives can thrive, not just survive? So today, as we think about the summer, the next 3 months, I want to give a framework, a mindset of how we navigate what's coming up in the near future. And hopefully when you leave here, you'll have a perspective of how to live life in such a way that the next 3 months you'll enjoy them, you will have a sense of thriving, not just hanging on and surviving. So, I want us to read a text together. Take out the chair Bible in front of you and turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. I'll have Jake put that slide up. I think the text is on there. Whoops. It should be Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. A little typo on my part. So turn to that. It's page 984. And we're going to read this together. Page 984. Is that it? All right. Verses 1 through 7. In the chair Bible. Okay, let's read it together. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Solomon says, if you want a good life, learn to be wise. And though it costs you all you have, get understanding. So wisdom is part of the fabric of the believer's life that we must understand and go after in order to live a life that is meaningful and has impact, and we just enjoy it. So I want to share with you today 5 thoughts on how to make the summer a good summer. Number 1 in your notes. As we kind of just leave the shore towards summer. The first point is this. Prioritize your relationship with Jesus. Prioritize it. Read with me Matthew 6:33 in your notes. But seek first his kingdom, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. These are the words of Jesus. And he says, I want you to remember something. You got to have something that's first placed in your life. As a matter of fact, everybody has something that is first place. The question is whether we prioritize Jesus and the kingdom inside of us. Now, circle the word first, but seek first. This is what it means. It means at the beginning. It means whether it's the day, every morning when you get up, if you and I give him time in his presence, we are seeking first the kingdom. We're asking Jesus to lead us and guide us. And what happens is, he says, everything else will fall into place when we prioritize him. Now, when I get this verse right, and I spend my quiet time with God, and I seek first, I pray for others, I listen, I just get my heart aligned for the day, it's a pretty good day. When I don't get this right, when I'm too busy or I don't think I have time, let me tell you, the day towards the end begins to unravel. That makes sense? So prioritizing Jesus and seeking him first is point number one. Here's a quote. Put God first and watch your life change. Here we are, beginning of summer. And if we prioritize him, Jesus said, we seek him first and everything else, he says, he promises, will be given to us. It'll line up. All right. So that's point one. Number two, the second principle of being wise this summer is this. Refuel and recharge daily. Refuel and recharge daily. Read with me Isaiah 40, 31 in your notes. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. A great promise from Isaiah. Here's what he's saying. You and I need to take a certain position every day which enables and allows God to refill or to recharge our life. Circle the word wait. We need wait time in God's presence. Now, it may be 10 or 15 minutes. For others, it might be longer. But we have waiting time upon the Lord. Now, here's what the word wait means. It means to look for, to hope in, to expect, or to bind together. Imagine with me two strands of rope. One strand is you and me. The other strand is God. And the word wait means this. It means to bind together. When we wait in God's presence, we weave the strand of our life together with God's strand, and it empowers us and gives us strength and a sense of recharging and renewal when we do that. James 4:8, let's read that together. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The word draw, you know what it means? It means to approach. It means to become extremely close to. So you and I are as close to God as we want to be. You realize that? Everybody here has an opportunity to draw close. And so this whole thing about approaching God, the door is open through grace, and we can draw near to God any time of the day, and we can be as close to God as we want to be. Here's a quote. You can't pour from an empty cup. Take care of yourself first. Here's a word of wisdom for the summer. You can't pour from an empty cup. When we run and we don't take time to refuel and recharge, what happens is our cup is empty. So we get to the end of June and July, and we've been through some parties and graduations, or we're going on vacation, and all of a sudden the rat race is just draining us. We can't pour from an empty cup. Now, let me just share about the rhythm of life. We need to have a daily rhythm in which we refuel, wait upon God. It's a daily deal. Not only that, we need a weekly rhythm. You know what the weekly rhythm is? It's church. A priority is a predetermined decision. And when you and I predetermine what we're going to do on a daily basis, in terms of waiting, as well as on a weekly basis, that we prioritize the church, the gathering together, here's what happens. We're renewed. We're refueled. Our cup gets filled up. There's a book by Robert Morse called Take the Day Off. And in this book, he talks about four tanks inside of us. Now, think of a tanker going down the road. You know, they're full of some kind of fuel or liquid. And our lives have tanks that need to be refilled. I want to share with you four of them. There's no slide for this, so you can just fill these in. Letter A. We have a spiritual fuel tank. This is when we spend time with God and He replenishes our soul. In other words, the tanker, God fills our tank in such a way that our soul feels at peace and at rest with God. Letter B, physical fuel tank. This is called sleep and rest. Now, isn't it true that a good night's sleep can take care of a lot? And a poor night's sleep really messes up the next day? Let me tell you, sleep and rest are big deals. You know why? It restores our strength. It restores us. So the second tank is physical. We need to take care of that by eating good and exercising and getting good sleep. Letter C. The third tank is this. There's an emotional fuel tank inside of us. Now, Nehemiah said this. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, I want to talk to you about the emotional piece of life. I can tell you today, or you can tell yourself, whether your emotional tank is high, whether it's kind of in the middle, or it's on empty. And here it is. If you and I have a degree of joy in our life this morning, and by joy I mean life isn't perfect, but I'm okay with it. Chances are your emotional tank is at a good level. If you're here today and there's very little joy in your life, emotionally, I mean, you feel depleted and you're probably close to empty, chances are your emotional reserves are depleted. And you need to get your tank filled back up. What does that mean? Well, you look at your schedule, look at the pace of your life, find some time for yourself to pull back and let God fill your emotional fuel tank. Joy's a big deal. So here's what happens. When we get running too fast and don't refuel, we get a little bit short with people or crabby, and it's called an emotional leak. We begin to leak energy. We just don't feel good about life because there's something that's wrong inside of us. We're out of balance. But the third tank is an emotional tank that we say, God, okay, I need to refill it because I can't pour out to others from an empty cup. Finally, letter D, number four. It's a mental fuel tank. Did you know that the brain has a trillion telephone connections? It's an amazing organ. The brain just has all these connector points, and when we are tired, we experience something called brain fog. Some people are shaking their heads. They're even talking up front. So the problem is the emotional tank, the mental tank, we need to rest that as well. How do we do it? The first is this, a daily rhythm of time before God where we just are alone with Him and let Him refuel us. The other is the weekly rhythm of prioritizing church. And what happens is we feel more in balance when we do number one, which is prioritize Jesus in our life. Okay. Number three. third truth of wisdom for the summer is this: live out of the overflow of God's Spirit in your life. Live out of the overflow. Read with me Psalm 23:5. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Circle the word overflows. Here's what it means. It means to be saturated. It means to have an abundance. It means to be wealthy. Do you realize that as a believer, a follower of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit lives within us through Christ, we are wealthy people in our spirits. And when we understand that and embrace His word and live and trust, He anoints our life with oil, and you know what happens? We begin to live in the overflow. It's a great experience to live in the overflow of God in you as you relate to other people. And when we do that, it's just in a place of abundance. We are wealthy in our spirits because of Christ's grace. Read with me John 7:38. The one who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Do you realize that if you have Christ in your life today, wherever you go, your office, the grocery store, wherever you're at, you have rivers of living water through the Holy Spirit flowing through your life. It's God's love through you to other people. And when we live in the overflow of that, you know what happens? I tell you, on the home front, if you're married, a husband or wife or kids, you live in such a place where it just kind of lubricates the whole situation, and we accept and tolerate more. You know what happens when we're really low in that area? It becomes a very contentious place, especially in relationships. But when we live in the overflow, let me tell you, good things happen. All right, here's a quote. Oh, it's a picture, sorry. I love this picture. God pours into your heart and life rivers of living water. Our hearts are the bowl or the cup, and when it overflows, we just live there. This summer, live out of the overflow of grace in your life. Be the person that makes the difference in your home, at your office. Be the person that people are attracted to. Be the person that people love to be around. Why? You're living in the overflow. It's not you. It's Christ's presence in you. And when you do that, you make the difference in everybody that you contact. Just because you've prioritized Jesus, you refuel and recharge. He fills your tanks daily, regularly. And then you live life out of the overflow. Point number four. The fourth thing about how to be wise this summer is this. Practice contentment. Practice contentment. Read with me Philippians 4:12 in your notes. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Let me paraphrase this. I know something about each of us here today. There's something in your life that isn't perfect or the way you want it. There is. Everybody here has got that in common. There's some circumstance that you wished was different. It just doesn't seem fair or right, but it is what it is. Now, here's the secret. Paul said he learned the secret. In other words, he somehow had to grapple with it and come to the place within himself that says, you know what? I figured something out. Even though my life isn't totally perfect circumstantially, I have learned contentment. Contentment is a spiritual maturity that anchors to God Himself, that because of the indwelling power of Christ, It is independent of my circumstances. That's why some people, even in this church family, are going through incredibly difficult times. But when you talk to them, this sense of peace and contentment shows up in their life because it's Christ living in them and through them. They learn the secret. And we have to practice that. It's a hard thing to lay hold of, to do repeatedly. But let me tell you, it's a secret of life. This summer, practice contentment. It may not be perfect in your life. There's something you wished you weren't, it wasn't there. But let me tell you, if you practice and give thanks for what you've got, give thanks for what you've got and say, God, I hope this changes, but if it doesn't, I choose to be content where I'm at. Now, here's a quote. Good. Thank you, Jay. The grass isn't greener on the other side. It's greener where you water it. Just let that sink in. We think the grass is greener over here, do we not? If we're all honest, we all have those thoughts. But you know where it's greenest? It's where you water it. And you know where you water it? You feel contentment. Just because God is there and His presence is upon your life. So point number four, this summer, hey, we're on the front end. Practice contentment. God, okay, may not be perfect, but I'm going to enjoy it and I'm going to be content with what you've given me and where I'm at. All right. And finally, number five. The fifth point is this. We need to finish strong. Finish strong. Read with me Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 in your notes. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Circle the word perseverance. Here's what it means. Slow and steady wins the race. It sometimes requires great endurance. It's a constancy. It's something we have to run our race. The next 3 months are like a race. We got a lot in front of us. But if we persevere and we keep our eyes on Jesus, I tell you, we will experience what it means to thrive, not just survive. So five things to be wise this summer. Number one, prioritize your relationship with Jesus Himself. Predetermine what you're going to do daily and weekly. Number two, refuel and recharge daily and weekly. Let God fill your tanks up. Take care of yourself. We cannot pour out of an empty cup. Number three, I love this one. Live out of the overflow. Get so close to God that He just pours into your life and live there to be a blessing to other people. Number four, practice contentment. Water the grass in your life. Learn the secret of being content, whatever the circumstances might be. And finally, number five, finish strong. Here's a quote. Many will start fast, few will finish strong. So as you think about the summer, I want you to have a framework in your mind of how to navigate, how to be wise. And the message is the next 3 weeks, we're going to continue on the wisdom trail of how to be wise in dealing with people and circumstances and so forth. But here's what I want to conclude with. I got a video. It's 1 minute and 36 seconds long. It's about a race. It's in French, so you won't understand it. But I want you to keep your eye on the fourth runner. It's the last lap of a 4x400 relay, but keep your eye on the fourth runner. Let's watch it, and then I'll come back and pray, and then Pastor Jack will lead us in communion.
Florian Gay qui va prendre le bâton pour la France sur les Russes aussi.
Ouais, Erzikova, Erzikova qui vient attaquer la Russe là, ils ont fini fort les Russes et les Ukrainiennes.
La France est quatrième, il y a du trafic, elle a perdu un peu de temps, Florian, ça va être dur. Ça va être très dur parce que le podium est dessiné là-bas.
Eh ouais, ouais, c'est les trois favoris hein, devant.
Ouais, ouais, et il n'y aura pas de podium pour le 4x4 français parce que là on ne revient pas. Hein. Les Russes, l'Ukraine et la Grande-Bretagne. C'est vrai qu'il y a eu un problème dans le trafic et que Florian a perdu du temps. Et on va regarder la bagarre entre l'Ukraine et la Russie avec toujours la possibilité pour Adeoyer alors que Florian donne tout ce qu'elle a. Mais malheureusement, ce sera pas suffisant.
Ah, ça revient fort, elle revient fort. Ouais, mais... la Britannique est en train de craquer.
Alors peut-être.
La Britannique est en train de craquer, Pazzi.
Je pense que ça va être juste, mais elle va tout donner quand même.
La Britannique a temporisé. Elle est en train de relancer.
Elle revient, elle va réussir.
Mais il n'y a pas que la ligne droite, mais quel 400 mètres, quel 400 mètres.
Elles sont championnes d'Europe.
Elles sont championnes d'Europe.
C'est énorme.
J'ai jamais vu ça.
Non.
Patrick.
Je n'ai jamais vu ça.
C'est extraordinaire.
Mais
extraordinaire.
Regarde. Mais c'est pas possible.
Elles sont extra. Merci pour Muriel. Merci
mais
pour
regarde,
Muriel.
Mais regarde.
C'est énorme.
Je vous ai dit qu'elles se battraient pour Muriel.
Oh là là, Florian.
Extraordinaire. Extraordinaire.
Mais Florian.
Extraordinaire. Extraordinaire.
Ah ben il va falloir lui faire une statue.
Ah ouais, moi je veux bien participer.
Ah ouais.
I love that video. Tell you what, God wants us to run a race, to be victorious. He wants us to not just survive, but to thrive as we journey through the next 3 months. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these simple principles of wisdom. The summer's in front of us, and we pray you'll bless us as your people, that we will enjoy it one day at a time, and that you'll go before us. You'll be our God. You'll help us to have the inner compass to be wise people, to make smart decisions, that when our tank is getting empty, you'll draw us to yourself so we can refill it and to live out of the overflow. Lord, bless this summer, I pray, each person here, everyone listening online, that, Father, you would just give us a great summer together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.